It's great to be in the body of Christ, isn't it? Today's scriptural reading is from Ephesians 5, 1. Oh, the thing only have 1 to 2. I got 1 to 17. So maybe I'll just do 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do I continue? I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, everyone. That was a nice, sweet scripture reading, wasn't it? Nice and to the point. So sometimes it's long, sometimes it's short. It just depends on every week. So you have to come every week, right? So, it's good. As Pastor Rick announced, we have a couple of major retreats coming up, right? The youth retreat at the end of this month. We have the EM retreat in August. And you really don't want to miss either of those retreats. So I want to really encourage you guys to come out, be part of that. Whether you're youth or you want to help out and serve, Pastor Rick's always looking for more people, right, to help serve. So that's good. And if you register now for the EM retreat, which is August 3rd to 5th, it is early registration, which means it's cheaper. But if you wait two more weeks, it gets a little bit more expensive. So you want to register now, please go online. And if you have any questions about the retreat, please see Danny Ang. He's the handsome guy right there, who's the good-looking guy. That's him, okay? So just see the good-looking guy, and you'll be good to go. So he loves that. Okay, good. No. All right. No, that came off wrong. I mean, not that he loves it. We all love Danny. Okay. That's what I meant. All right, well, okay, please join me in prayer, and we're going to look at this short verses, but I have something I just want to share out of these verses, and so please join me in prayer as we, look at this. Father, thank you for this morning, God, as we come before you, and Jesus, we do worship you truly as our loving King. Lord, we thank you that what amazing love that our God and King would give his life for us. What precious, amazing love that is. And as a response, Lord, may our lives be lived as a fragrant offering to you. May it be lived in a way that's pleasing to you, lives filled with love and light. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are both Savior and King. And because of that, Lord, our lives can reflect who you are. And we thank you for coming into our life in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to share with you that, in our province where my wife and I live, or my family and I, we lived in China, Shandong province. Shandong was actually famous for some, famous revivals that happened. And also, too, we had a couple of very famous missionaries come into our province, decades ago. And one of those missionaries you might have heard of, his name is Eric Little. Do you guys know Eric Little? So he was featured in the film Chariots of Fire. He's the Scottish runner who won a gold medal. He refused to run or compete on Sunday, and so he got bumped to... that's not Eric Little, by the way. Okay, there's a story. Okay, so anyway, he won the gold medal, and he was one of the famous missionaries, and he came to China, to Shandong, as a missionary teacher. So he taught chemistry and he taught PE in China. But another famous missionary that came into our province, her name was Lottie Moon. How many of you guys have heard of Lottie Moon? Three people. Okay, good. Well, good. Yeah, Lottie Moon is very famous because she was the very first female who was commissioned by the Southern Baptists. So up until that point, they did not allow females to go into the field, but she was also single, and she made a case that God is calling me, and the Baptists commissioned her to go into the mission field. Now, what's interesting about Lottie Moon was this. So my family and I, we had the great privilege of visiting the place that she ministered in our province. And it was very clear that the Lord used her in a very powerful way. And the fruit of her ministry lasted a few generations even to today. And we got to meet with the pastor who was basically a second-generation pastor. That's Lottie Moon, by the way. That's her. So not Eric Little, Lottie Moon. But we met with the pastor who was a second-generation pastor who had been impacted by her ministry in that province. And we have a picture there. So this is a pastor. You know, he'd been ministering there in that region for like 40, 50 years. That's the church building that he pastored at. As you can see, we were a lot younger back then, okay? The kids were a little bit younger, too. So one of the things that this pastor, you know, he was sharing these stories about Lottie Moon. And these stories were pretty inspiring, you know, pretty impacting, actually, stories, because as he was even just recounting these stories of Lottie Moon, it was very clear that she just gave herself completely, you know, to the people that she was at. And she had, you know, a limited supply of medicines with her. She had her own food and all that. But that region at that time was so poor that people would come knocking on her door, and they were sick, they were hungry. And what she would do is she would just give away whatever, you know, food, whatever medicines that she had at her disposal, to the point that she herself just didn't even have medicine for herself. I mean, she gave her own medicine away, and she gave her food and everything. Well, she got so emaciated, and she felt very sick to the point where the Baptists or the denomination just tell her, you have to come back. I mean, you're about to die, and you're getting so sick. We need you to just come back. We need you to recuperate. We want to get you well. So she took a ship ride back. As she was going back, she was just so weak and she was so sick that she just died on the way back. So she never quite made it back. But as she was on the boat ride back, you know, it was said that she was singing her very favorite song, her favorite song that she would just sing over and over again. And the song that she would sing was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, that song, right, that we all grew up hearing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And this is really the heart of it. Jesus loves us, right? And Jesus loves us. We know this, the Bible tells us, and because Jesus loves us, we can live a life that is supernaturally empowered by the Spirit of God to love others, to give ourselves away to others for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus. This is really, when you think about her life and you think about this story, it's not just Lottie Moon's story. This is actually the story of every believer in Christ who belongs to Jesus, that our life is meant to be used by God in self-giving love to those around us. And Ephesians, this book that we've been going through, I hope it's been more than just a good, you know, Bible nuggets or intellectual exercise. I mean, Ephesians is so rich, and if we really get this, it just really does transform our lives. And the point that Paul makes in Ephesians 5 in this passage that we just read, that Grace just read, is that, you know, we're to walk in love as Christ has loved us and gave himself for us, but we're to walk in this life of love and of holiness, of light, as God transforms people who are very self-absorbed and very self-preoccupied and transforms us into the kind of people that reflect his love, his light. God is able to do this. If we look in the Bible, love is the overriding fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? How do we know when we're filled with the Spirit? Is it the ability to speak in tongues? Is it the ability to prophesy, to do? The Bible says the way that we know that we are that we are filled with the Spirit is because there is this supernatural love, this life of love for God, for other people. It's the summary of all the commands of the Bible, to love God, to love others, right? This, if you just boil down to, you know, what does it mean to follow Jesus? It's to love God, love other people. This is a summary. And without love, Paul says, we are nothing but a noisy, clanging cymbal. Everything that we do because we're motivated to love God and love people. This is what it's all about. And when a world that does not believe the gospel see love expressed, when they see love lived out in the church and through the church, this is a very compelling reason to believe that the gospel is really true, right? When I look at our church, and I look at, there's so many people in our church that so many stories I could just share, and I love just the examples that I've seen just over the past several months of so many people in our congregation, right? And how God is using them to really show what it means to love. And Sineth Yu, you know, using her amazing organizational talents, right, to put on our health fair last year and to say, we're going to just bless our community. We just want to love on you. We want to do this for the sake of, and then to see these brothers and sisters come together, right, and to do this to, for the sake of loving community. And Ryan and Jenna, right, just putting together our fall festival. And what was amazing about it was people coming in this fall festival saying, thank you so much. And they just did an incredible job to do this. David and Hui, right, and these amazing people organizing a luncheon for Inez School to serve the school staff and to help renovate one of the rooms there. And one of the assistant principal, right, she's the one who said, you know, thank you so much because in 33 years that I've been a teacher, no one has ever served me lunch, right? The assistant principal, she says, I've always served other people lunch, but this is the first time someone in 33 years has served me lunch. And that was just amazing to hear, you know, that testimony, that story. And, you know, when I see, honestly, like when I see the counselors, you know, for Eureka, Awana, Alpha, Roots and Branches, the people who are pouring themselves out into these students, and, you know, I know that there are some of you here as young adults that the reason why you're here at this church and the reason why you've come back to CFC, even though you could have gone to other churches, is because you shared how you were impacted by your time from counselors in Awana and Eureka, and this made a deep, lasting impact in your life. And so this is when the church comes together, when we show love, right, within the body, but when we show love into this community, this is what it means to make the invisible Jesus visible to the world. It is what it means. And that's why this one guy named Francis Schaeffer, who is this brilliant intellectual guy, but as brilliant as he is intellectually, this is why he says that the final apologetic to the world of the reality of the gospel is our love for one another. This is the greatest compelling reason why people are going to believe that Jesus really is alive and true. So, looking at this passage, Ephesians 5, talking about our lives being transformed by the power of Jesus. I just want to share some very simple points. You know, none of this is going to be particularly profound, but I pray, if anything, that it would move us closer to the heart of Christ and would move us to reflect the love of Jesus more in our life. But first of all is this. To love is to imitate God himself. It is to imitate God himself. Paul says this, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But he starts off, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Therefore, what is the therefore? Therefore, right, what's Paul saying? He's concluding based on what we just read, based on the fact that this is who Jesus is, all that Christ has given us, because you and I, we are children of God, to imitate who God is as his beloved children, to reflect who God is. Putting away, therefore, putting away, as we talked about last several weeks, anger, rage, bitterness, lying, deception, putting away all of these things in our lives to now live a light life that is filled with love and his light. This is what he's saying. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Those of you who have children and those of you who have parents, right? But you know that as children, we very, very much naturally or very even subconsciously imitate our parents, don't we? You know, I noticed that one of my children has this habit of sticking her upper lip to her nostrils. Yes, believe it or not. But when I saw that happening, guess where she got that from? Oh, I gave away one of them. Okay, guess where she got that from? Me, right? Because I stick my I stick my lip to my nostril, and I do it so subconsciously. If you see me doing that walking around, okay, that's just who I am, all right? And then I saw her doing the same thing. I go, oh my goodness, that's so freaky. What's she doing? And I realize it's me, right? It's just natural that we imitate the characteristics of our parents. And as children of God, you know, we are to imitate God himself. We naturally, if Christ is living in us, that means we resemble our Father in heaven. And because our Father demonstrates his love for us in Christ, we demonstrate that as well. And second thing is this. The basis is because we're beloved children of God, but secondly, it says this, we're to love not only because it imitates God himself, but we're to love as Christ loved us, as Christ loved us. So verse 2, Paul says, walk in love, live this out, but he says to do it in a way that as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. So the question is, well, how did Christ love us? How did he love us? Well, it's very clear that Paul says, as a fragrant offering, as a sacrifice to God, he loved us. His love was not sentimental, right? It was costly. It was sacrificial love. This is the way that Christ loved. If you look in the Bible, we were talking about this in our Sunday school class, in our Gospel Foundations class, but it's very clear when you look in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that when Christ is preached and people are called to repentance, to faith in Jesus, it wasn't just business as usual. People didn't just come, okay, let's have a worship service here on Sunday and we go home and that was about it. There was a complete other-centeredness about people's lives. You see that all of a sudden, people weren't just concerned about their immediate needs or their immediate family's needs, but there was this radical, radical commitment to say, I'm going to help meet your needs. And people would sell even their possessions to say, how can I help meet your needs? What can I do? What can I sacrifice to do that? People would courageously share the gospel with their unbelieving, you know, family and the people around them, and at the threat of their own life, they would just boldly, courageously share Jesus with the people. And 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says this, the love of Christ compels us. His life was one that was marked by an act of self-giving, and Paul, one act after another, if you look at the book of Acts, he would always be putting his life down on the line for the sake of Jesus. But why? Because the love of Christ compelled Paul, compelled us to do that. And I would say that that is no different today. This was not just some radical movement that was just for the early church, but now, you know, things are different. The same mark of whether we really belong to Jesus, whether Christ really lives in us, is the same thing that marked them then, is the same thing that marks us today. It's this self-giving that's costly, that's sacrificial for the sake of others. And this is not the same thing as being a nice person, right? Sometimes we can be nice, but nice is not the same as love. Sometimes we're nice and cordial because we want people to like us back. We want the relationship to be okay. But that is not what biblical costly love is. Biblical love is costly. It sacrifices for the other person at your personal expense. You know, Andrew, when he came and shared last Sunday, and Andrew and Jeanette, and they talked about, right, their special needs child with Ryle. And because of Ryle, you know, their life has been very drastically altered, right, in many, many ways. But not altered in a way, there's no sense of regret, you know, there's no sense of, wow, you know, that just kind of makes our life inconvenient. It's not like that at all, right? They gladly serve his needs. And several of our friends in China, I'll say, they've adopted special needs children from China. Several of our friends have done this, and there's this one particular friend that we've got, this couple named Evan and Mary Vars, and they were actually teachers at the international school. Evan was a very gifted teacher. He's extremely popular. The kids loved him. He loved his work. He loved being a teacher. He loved being in China. Their lives were happy. They were doing great. But God laid it on their hearts to adopt a special needs child. And this special needs child had all kinds of medical issues and had tremendous challenges and problems just breathing properly, normally. And what it required was, as much as they tried to have this child taken care of in China, it just couldn't be done. So they realized the only choice left was to move back to the States. They had to leave the work that he loved, the position he loved, the place that he loved being at, for the sake of taking care of their special needs child. And it plunged them into instability. For a while, he couldn't find anything. They came back to the States, and there's no medical insurance coming back. There's no guarantees. Like, how are they going to fund everything? It's going to be expensive. It'll be costly. And, you know, it broke his heart to be able to leave, but what broke his heart even more was his child. And Evan and Mary devoted everything so that they can make sure their child is taken care of. Now, they couldn't have imagined maybe all the things that this would result in, but they knew when they made that choice to adopt that child that it meant, you know, our lives don't belong to us, right? We're going to do what it takes now to make sure that this child is going to be loved and okay. And when I look at their example, when I look at Evan and Mary, people like them, you know, it's such a tremendous challenge. It's such a tremendous encouragement to my heart as well. And here's a litmus test, right? Because if our lives just kind of blend in like normal, like everyone else, but we're just nice people, is that really what we find in the Bible? Here's a litmus test I want to ask us is this. When the world looks at our lives, when unbelievers look at our lives, would they question and would they say, why? Why do you live that way? Why do you choose to live this way? Why do you make those kind of choices? It just doesn't make sense. Like that, I mean, your choices are just, they're so costly, and I don't see the benefit to you in this. I don't see how this is helping further your life or enhancing your life or your career or whatever it is. That is a litmus test, right? Like when people watch, can they say, well, what's the catch? I don't get it. And what's the deal? with your life? Why would you do that? You know, as we speak, just this past week alone, I hear of all these great stories, medical doctors, right? Medical doctors, dentists, going into the poorest parts of Uganda to invest their years of hard-fought training and skills to bring medicine to the poorest parts of Africa. And because they were the only medical doctors in that region, it is helping to improve the economy. Actually, it's somehow spurring the economy in that area, but it's bringing healing into the lives of the people there. And through these things, there's a platform now for them to share the gospel, and people are getting saved. They're finding Jesus. And another couple that I found out that what they decided to do is this. You don't have to move to Africa, right? Another couple I found out what they're doing is they're actually, for their apartment complex, they decided once a month they're going to set up a table where people on the way to work, they scurry off to work, they could pick up free bagels, donuts, and coffee, and juice, and all that. They just prepare it for the people in their complex. Hey, feel free, grab it on the way. There's no catch. We just want to love you. We just want to bless you. That's what we want to do. And when I hear stories like that, that's like, wow, that is making the invisible Jesus known, visible to this world, right? It doesn't have to involve the other side of the planet. It can involve locally where we're at. And my suggestion, my encouragement to us is this. What are the practical needs that you see around you? Ask God to just open your eyes. Like, what are the needs that you see around you at work, in your where you live, wherever? But what are the things that when you see there's this huge need or there's something that I could do to help meet this need? This summer, we have tons of opportunities if you're looking for opportunities. VBS, right? We have the youth camp coming up. We have Tuesday nights. Pastor Rick is going to lead this family night Tuesday nights. They're going to play basketball. But this is a great opportunity to come out, play basketball, not just for the sake of playing basketball, play basketball for the sake of building relationships. And as you build those relationships, keep your ears attuned to spiritual conversations that you can engage people with. You know, oh, you love basketball. Oh, that's great. You know, Jeremy Lin, you know, he's a follower of Jesus. I don't know. I mean, just that's a little too much. Okay. But you know what I'm saying. But keep your, just look for opportunities to invest, to do what you naturally love to do. If it's basketball, do that, but use it in a way to love people, build relationships. We have mission trips, Hong Kong, China. Next year, we're looking at, you know, doing some more mission trips, and I would love to see everyone take a trip at some point to just go out. Go out next summer. Like, take a trip, take a risk, do these things. Maybe it's volunteering to tutor a special needs student. Maybe it's, you know, taking in a foster kid. I don't know. Maybe it's organizing a fundraiser for someone at work who has cancer or someone in their family who has cancer, but doing something to help meet those needs. But I will say this. Ultimately, the greatest way to love people, the greatest way to meet people's needs is we love people greatest by sharing the good news of Jesus with them. This is the greatest way. Because ultimately, all your loving deeds will not save them. Only Jesus will save them. Only Jesus can save them. Unless Jesus saves them, we can meet all kinds of needs, all we want, but they will suffer for all of eternity. And that's not very loving. So we want to share Jesus. We want to share the gospel. We don't love people as a conversion project. That's not why we love people. But as we love people, I would think that it is only natural that our greatest hope and our greatest desire as we learn to love people is that we see them come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That this is what we're seeking to meet as the greatest need, is their spiritual need to have, to be forgiven, to be brought into relationship with Christ,
to live their lives in God's kingdom, to be brought into God's kingdom. Jesus, the greatest demonstration of Jesus' love and compassion, when you look at the Gospels, Jesus fed a lot of people. He healed a lot of people. But even in all of Jesus' feeding and healing, his acts of healing and feeding were never just the ends in and of themselves. Every act of healing and feeding were to point to his redemptive purpose in saving them, bringing them to God. This was the ultimate act of what all that Jesus would do. His greatest heart, his heart of compassion, what he had most compassion on the people. You know, Andrew preached on this last week on Mark chapter 6, but when he saw the crowds, he saw that they were as sheep without a shepherd. What does that mean? That they were spiritually lost, and they needed to know Jesus. They needed the gospel. This was what Jesus saw. And this is our greatest act of compassion as well. Give people Jesus. Share about Jesus. Engage. And we're to love. Why? Because Christ loved us. So in these verses, in Ephesians chapter 5, we find this. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. It says, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. A fragrant offering or a fragrant aroma. Several times throughout the Old Testament, the sacrifices that were offered in the temple, these offerings were described as this pleasant or this fragrant aroma that came before God. And we find, for example, in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 10 to 13, describing, if his gift for a burnt offering is from the flock, from the sheep or goats, he shall bring a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the earth, on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall throw its blood against the sides of the altar. And he shall cut it into pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall arrange them on the wood that is on the fire and on the altar. But the entrails and the legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer all of it and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. To the Lord. And this is described several times, this burnt offering before God. Because in the Bible, the opposite of this pleasing aroma is described as this stench before God's nostrils, before God. And the stench in the Old Testament is used to describe sinful and rebellious hearts of people toward God. And it's also used to describe God's judgment against people, against us, for our rebellion and sin. So, for example, Isaiah 65, 5, Isaiah says, who said, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you, the Lord says. And these are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. There's this idea that the stench of sin and rebellion, where we can't come near to God because of that. Isaiah 3:24 talks about God's judgment against Israel. For example, he says, instead of perfume, there will be rottenness. Instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a skirt of sackcloth. And branding instead of beauty. And the reality, as the Bible talks about, it describes, is that all of us, naturally, because of sin, that our sin is this displeasing, this stench, this foul smell before God. And we're all guilty of that. And it requires a sacrifice to, a pleasing sacrifice to God so that we would be removed of the judgment that we deserve. This involved this bloody sacrifice of animals. And the blood was thrown against the altar, the cutting of the sheep and the goats of the body. This was the pleasing aroma to God. And when Christ comes, he is this pleasing aroma to God. He was the one who on the cross, that his blood was taken and it was shed for us. But his body was cut for us. And it is through Christ, because of his sacrifice, one-time sacrifice for us, that now when we call upon Jesus and we repent of sin, we turn away from the darkness of our heart, from the rebellion, the sin, and we put our faith in Jesus and we call upon him as our Lord and Savior. That Christ is the one who transforms our hearts. He is the one who comes in and gives us this new nature, this new life. And he's the one who enables us to live a life of self-giving sacrifice for the sake of others. This is what Christ does. Every month, we take this communion, and as we take this communion, we participate in the death of Christ. Just as Christ died for our sins, and as Christ died to sin, we also die, we have died to our sins. And we who have Christ, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for the one who died for us. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, he said this, the love of Christ controls us. This is what compels us, the love of Jesus for us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. As we take this communion, we don't take it as a religious ritual, right? We don't do this because this is just what we do as a church every month. When we take this communion, what we are saying is this, we no longer live for ourselves. That is what we're declaring. Just as we are tied in together with Jesus, we are saying we've died to our old life. Our lives are now, we give it to Jesus, it's to be marked by a radical new love and generosity towards others. And let me just say that if your life has not been marked by this, please don't come up just to take it, because you might look embarrassed if you don't. Because you're not the, just please don't do that. Please examine your life. Is the reality of Christ actually there? Is it real? If the reality of Christ is there, come. If the reality of Christ is not there, please examine your heart. Take this time to examine, to see if you have a heart commitment to live your life based on Jesus, based on Christ as your Lord and Savior, based on a life that's repentant and trusting him and following Jesus day after day, come as a way to mark your continued life in Christ. I identify with Jesus in every single way. And this is who communion is for. So please come and take this moment to just come before God. And I'm going to ask those who are administering to come forward. And when you are ready, and if this is who you are, your life is tied with Jesus and committed to this love, to loving like Jesus, come forward. And we invite you.